We will start with a roll call and the adoption of the agenda.
Okay, we have present on the call Bill Drake, David Farris, Hago Dafala, Jordan Carter, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Rudy Van Snick, and from staff, Alexandra Dunn, Bart Boswinkel, and myself. We have received apologies from Christina Rosette, Marilyn Cade, and Phil Corwin. Did I miss anybody on the call? No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the myself is, of course, Renata DeWolf, for the record. And so we'll adopt the agenda. Does anyone wish to make any amends to the agenda that we have on the screen at the moment? I don't see anyone putting their hand up or writing anything in the chat, so the agenda is adopted. And the first thing we will do is to have a look at the action items from our last call, the one on the 8th of May. And looking at it, there were two action items. One was for Renate to reserve a room for the face-to-face working group meeting in London. Renate, has that been affected? I see a tick next to the action item. Is this on the call?
Yes, I've put a request in, and they are finalizing the schedule as we speak. Hopefully we'll have the full schedule within a week or two.
Thank you very much, Renate. The next action item is for all participants to send their inputs or comments on the draft charter by Tuesday the 13th of May. And this, of course, was an email was sent out to the mailing list, and we had input, and this is what we're going to discuss today. So let's go swiftly into the charter, finalizing the charter, and I invite you all to open the charter document, version 4, which is both on the wiki but also on the link to the agenda page. And I believe that it will also, here we go, magically arrive on our Adobe Connect. And with us we have Bart Boswinkel, who has been working very hard to integrate the input that has been received on the mailing list. I'll hand the floor over to Bart Boswinkel.
This is Bart for the record. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I'll just run through, I've identified three comments. One was from Avery, one was from Patrick Fellstrom, and one from Gregory, Gregory Chatham, I believe. I hope that's the right pronunciation of his name. What I've done, I've included these comments in the clean version, say, that was presented, of the document that was presented on the previous call. And I've also included, where I thought it was appropriate, I also included some initial thoughts from my end, but of course it's up to the working group to determine whether they want to include it. So what I'll do, first of all, I want to understand, so make clear that these three were the only comments we received. Olivier, did you receive any others?
Negative part, I did not.
Okay, so I think, say, the purpose now is to focus on the comments received, and that this small group discusses, and hopefully for the final time, in order to allow the conveners, Rafik and Olivier, to submit it to the SOs and ACs. Let me see if I can... it's a bit difficult. Hopefully everybody can see both the text and the comments in the Adobe room. So the first comment we received was from Patrick regarding the scope of the activities. I'll read his comments. Say, we have not talked much about communication to or comment about ICANN and the ICANN processes or process. And his second, his question is, do we or do we not have that as task to, or have this as a task to discuss also? And his second comment is related, that to discuss the ICANN processes at external events. My read, but that's just my read, is that the three, so the marked activities in yellow, do cover Patrick's comments, but that's only my read of it. Maybe some others have a view on this as well. So open over to you, Olivier, for discussion.
Yes, thank you very much, Bob. It's Olivier speaking, so the floor is open for discussion here. I think people are currently reading the text. I've also put a link to the latest version with the notes on the Adobe chat, so you can click on that if you are unable to see what's on the screen at the moment on the Adobe Connect. The question really is regarding these inputs. Provide input to ICANN staff, supporting organizations and advisory committees on issues pertaining to internet governance discussions and processes. And the comment from Patrick Feldstrom was, do we or do we not have a task to discuss also what is said at external events about ICANN? Do the earmarked activities highlighted address Patrick's points? Is a note that Bart has asked on that.
This is David. David Fair, sorry. As you know, I raised this point a while back, and it looks to me like we have covered it in the bullets. Maybe we should just go back to Patrick and ask him why he thinks it isn't in there and if he has particular edits to address it. I read it as being covered. I don't know what others think.
Thanks very much, David. Anyone else? Does anyone on the call read it as not being covered? Because my own personal feeling is that it probably is covered, but maybe something needs to be added or a few words need to be added to make it clear. If it's unclear, I don't know.
It's Jordan here. I think you could read the bullet points as being about basically the focus being to provide input to ICANN about what is happening in other internet governance processes, but not what is said about ICANN within those processes specifically. So he may be worried that it's just going to be dealing with the activity of those other processes or the issues that they discuss, and that there won't be a reflection of the views or debates about ICANN within those processes. So I think he's focusing on a subset of what might be created. I don't think it's excluded by those bullet points, but I can see why he asks the question.
Jordan, this is Bart. Do you have any suggestion to make that more explicit? Because I think it was the intention of, say, the drafters to include it.
Off the top of my head, no, but I'll just think about something and type it in the chat room.
Yeah, because if we can do, then I will include it in that version and also add the comment that it's, say, in the next version, and I will include the editorials from Gregory as well, and then send it round right after the call, if feasible.
Yes, thank you, Bart. That's Olivia speaking. That would be great.
Yeah, I see Jordan has. Yeah, Jordan has already included.
Jordan mentions. Yeah, I'll read it to the record. Olivia speaking. So reflect back to the ICANN community discussions about ICANN or ICANN matters that arise in other internet governance discussions. Should it be in other internet governance? Maybe not internet governance fora, because at that point it becomes a loaded term.
So no, we could call it discussions and processes, which is the same language that's already used in the first bullet point.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you, Jordan, for this. I note agreement from Rudy Bantanek as well. Bill Drake suggests or questions the term reflect back. Should we relate back to the ICANN community discussions, perhaps relate rather than reflect, or share with, share with the ICANN community discussions. Convey from Bill, convey back to the ICANN community discussions. Maybe share with the ICANN community discussions, if it, yes, convey to the ICANN community.
Yeah.
Going on. Bob?
Yeah, I'm not very good at copying out of Adobe. Can somebody send it to me? Maybe at the end of the call. Okay, I think this one is clear, and I'll include it in the bullet points and as the result from the discussions today. I'll go on to the next one, and this is just the main...
Just for the record, I think that conveyed to the ICANN committee something that looked quite well. I see Bill Drake and Jordan Carter happy with that.
Yeah.
Okay, then you can quickly move on to the next one.
Yeah. The next one is around membership of the working group, and Gregory has submitted an extensive comment around this. His comment is, I suggest this to deal with the GNSO problem. As drafted, it appears that the members from an XO excludes the co-chairs from that SO. Thus, each SO can effectively have 6 members on the working group, 1 plus 5. So that's the maximum. The GNSO has 7 constituent organizations. If the GNSO has 7 slots, 1 plus 6, the GNSO will have the flexibility to allow each constituent organization to directly appoint a member, with the only issue being the designation of a co-chair. If there are less slots, the selection process within the GNSO becomes significantly more complex, since I doubt that any constituent organization will be memberless. While rotation could be introduced, this is needlessly complex and fraught with issues, particularly the issue of who is in and who is out when a vote is taken, which I expect to be relatively rare occurrence. So the suggestion is to change from 5 to 6 members, excluding the co-chair, so the maximum for each SO and AC is 7 members, including the co-chairs. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Bob. So this is an issue which is not only an issue of this cross-community working group, but often is a recurrent issue. And I must say, I have no idea how to go around this one. I think that the original explanation for 5 is saying that in any case, it's 5 members plus, of course, all the observers that will be on there, and the observers will have the similar rights of speak in all the conference calls and in all the discussions. It really is down to any vote that there will then be a numerical problem. So that's the counter argument to expanding from 5 to 6 to 7 now. But then again, I have no... personally, I don't have any preference, and I therefore ask the members, the people who are here, especially members of the GNSO, to let us know what they think about this. Of course, this will go to the SO and AC chairs, and they might decide to reduce the number if we do agree to such a number. Thanks, Jordan, for passing by quickly, and thanks for your contribution on this. Any points of view on having seven members rather than what we have now, which is, I think, six. And what was before five.
So it was five plus chair, co-chair, Olivier. So
right.
This will be...
Yeah, and now...
It will be six plus co-chair. And I think if you look at the chat, what I see, everybody on the call agrees. And I think if you say to resolve this issue once and for all, it keeps the parity within the SOs and ACs, etc. I think it's a workable solution anyway.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Olivier speaking. Yes, having no preference on this and seeing there is support for this, let's make it 6 plus 1. We'll keep that, and we'll see with the feedback we get from the SOs and ACs. I think that most of the other parts of ICANN will probably not be able to furnish that many people on there, but we have to offer the same number to all the SOs and ACs, so then they will just fill it as they can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's okayed as well. We'll always see if we get pushed back down. I note that the cross-community working group is currently has started work. Does anyone know whether they've already looked at this type of issue?
No, they need to they're convening their first meeting next week. So they went through the
five, six, or seven per group, or is there no
five? It's the cross community working group has five, say with a minimum of two and a maximum of five.
Of five.
But it
might be one of the first things they discuss their own membership. Okay, let's put it at that, and hopefully by the time the SO and AC chairs will come back to us, there will have been this discussion in the cross-community working group on cross-community working groups. That will probably shed some light and show the way forward. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, the next is around the appointment of observers or experts, effectively. Again, a comment from Gregory. Expert would be appointed to provide, and this is an additional requirement on the appointment of experts. Gregory suggests to include experts would be appointed to provide guidance to the working group on matters within their areas of expertise, where such expertise is not otherwise available among the members and observers of the working group. And now my comment, so this is Bart's comment, there is no explanation of what experts, or his comment is, there is no explanation of what experts would be or why they would be appointed. I have suggested some language, and my comment is, on the one side, this is implied, because that's why you have experts, and they are external to the SOs and ACs participating. And secondly, on the other hand, the proposed qualifications would be counter to the participation on equal footing. So. This is again my view, and seen it work in some of the working groups, like the DSSA. The experts is also used to invite and have people on the working group that are not could not be appointed to a participating SO and AC, for example. ESSAC did not participate as a participating organization in the DSSA, but individual members participated in the work of the DSSA as experts. So it allows some flexibility.
Thank
and
you.
With the qualification, you'll introduce a little bit of limitations, but that's my view. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Bart. Olivier speaking. Sorry for jumping in. I open the floor for comments and questions and more comments. I don't think we need questions right now. We need probably some answers. Does anyone feel going in any specific direction on this one? Bart, just a quick question for you. The current text regarding the appointment of experts, which actually is in the paragraph after the one that has the...
I've included in the wrong spot, as I said. And Bill commented, experts to provide blah seems unduly restrictive.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Yeah, I mean, one of the things, and I'll wait for others to type in their input or put their hand up if they wish to, but I would tend to say that as a charter, restricting it more with regards to appointment of external bodies or anyone that would be of help might be in the way of the appointment if you don't actually fit the exact requirement there, because certainly where such expertise is otherwise available, is otherwise unavailable, I think, would be the text, unavailable among the members and observers of the working group, then one would then argue, well, is such expertise available or unavailable?
Any other views from the people on the call?
A note from Bill Drake, why say the expertise cannot be on the working group already?
Yeah.
Certainly, in the case of the DSSA, there were some people who were on the working group who had some knowledge of security, and then that would have probably stopped individual members of the SBAC from participation. We could have argued, well, we've already got expertise in that, so we don't need it.
And looking at it, say, if you look at the, say, there is already a general clause that, say, all participants demonstrate knowledge or expertise about aspects of the objective, and probably more importantly, is commit to actively participate.
Thank you, Bart. I note in the chat that at the moment there is no support for this amendment. There is both Bill Drake and Rudy Van Snick are saying it would be unrealistic to, it would be too restrictive to have that. So
yeah.
I think this one is probably not going to be added.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see anyone saying it should be added, so it looks like we have consensus on this. Let's move on. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah. Next one is on the discussion again around consensus, and this is a more complex one. Gregory suggested additional language on, say, consensus and no consensus, let me read it. No other, suggested additional language. No other formal levels of consensus will be used by the working group. Consensus will be based on the positions of SOs and ACs, not on the positions of individual participants. The designation of consensus may be used even where there are minority positions, so long as the SOs and ACs holding minority positions are, in the aggregate, a minority of the working group. So my comment on this one was by introducing decision-making on the basis of SO and AC affiliation, it is implied that the participants are representing the SO and AC. Further, the participating SOs and ACs will ultimately have the ability to support or endorse the decision of the cross-community working group So, a general comment from Gregory was, I think we need more clarity around what is meant by consensus. So, again, Olivier, over to you for further discussion of this part of Gregory's comments.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Bob. The floor is open.
Rudy has his hand up.
Go ahead, Rudy.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Go ahead, Rudy.
Yeah, thank you, Olivier, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, I think that in any case, the participants should never take a position as the individual. They should always reflect the position of the SO or AC to which they belong. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. That's where I think that the difference is between the experts and the participants. Participants are there to reflect who they represent. Experts are there because they have expertise and could be individual input and will not influence in such a position statement. So I think it's a bit it's a bit killing the whole discussion if we put in this type of sentence. I think there is no need. Everybody should agree on that. Where the consensus is always a big discussion. What is consensus? And I thought, Bart, you gave a good explanation of the consensus definition during this last call. So maybe that's the one we need to adopt.
Thank you, Rudy. Any other points or anyone else doesn't have a point of view of it?
David is typing in the chat. He agrees with Rudy.
So David Harris agrees with Rudy. If I may say, it's Olivier speaking, if I may say, we're not going to be able to crack the answer on consensus, no consensus, and consensus levels, etc. On this. We have the minority positions and so on, which are dealt with later on in the charter. I would be a bit concerned about having the different levels of consensus that one finds in the GNSO, the broad consensus, etc. I forget what the different levels are, but it seems to be quite complex and difficult to understand for non-GNSO people. Just having, I mean, the question here being what Rudy has mentioned, which is that people, when there is a consensus call, people would need to be responding on behalf of their SOAC, that I would hold as well. So, say that. Well, I see Bill Drake at the moment, so let's see Bill, if you have anything to add. You have the floor.
Yeah, just that I think we've spent. I'm happy to say I haven't spent because I haven't been involved in the drafting. But the process has spent, those of you who are involved have spent, a lot of time worrying about formalizing things down to the nth detail in ways that I think really probably are not merited in this particular context.
Yeah.
And I certainly would not want to see this process delve down to the level of complexity of rule refinement that we have in the GNSO, which basically ends up meaning that, you know, you're locked in hell forever. The reality is, the kinds of things I can imagine actually working on and saying things about are not going to be the kinds of things I wouldn't expect, where you're going to have a really difficult time judging what is a broad consensus among the group. And, it's, you know, if there are people who are unhappy with it, they'll find a way to express that. I mean, I just think that it's, I wouldn't make this more complex. One thing to bear in mind, I think, though, is to say that, you know, when we talk about individuals versus reflecting the consensus of your group and all that, I think it, you know, we always have to remember that different SOs, ACs, and parts thereof operate differently. You know, one of the things that came up, I think, in the past when we were doing GNSO operating procedures, for example, in NCSG/NCUC, we don't really have directed voting, for example. We've always pretty much operated on the assumption that the people that we, you know, we elect people to the council, you know, they're democratically elected. So you, the presumption is they're there, they're our representatives, they have our mandate, they will reflect back to us what's going on, where relevant, and so on. We don't try, generally speaking, to have a massive amount of information flow back and forth on every little decision in order to ensure that their every utterance is endorsed by some collectivity in some manner. And I think similarly, when it goes, you go into working groups like this, you know, if we have the expectation that there's going to be this kind of strict determination from the community of each of the participants' activities, in reality, we're talking about volunteers with limited bandwidth, limited time to engage. You know, we're going to have to be a little bit more flexible. So I just really hope that we, you know, I would caution against excessive formalization of anything in context. I just don't, like, we're not making policy here. We're expressing views yep. about things going on in other IG environments, you know. So, stop.
Thanks very much, Bill.
Olivier, this is Bart. And just to reaffirm Bill's comments, these were exactly the considerations to include a similar line or similar section in the draft charter or in the charter of the cross community working group on cross community working groups, because it's, you're not dealing with policy. If you overly define it, it becomes almost unworkable.
Okay, Bob, thank you. It's Olivier. If the cross-community working group or cross-community working group is adopting this language, then it probably is a good sign. So I would think to then say this.
It has been adopted for their charter.
It has been, okay. So then, and noting that others on the call here are not supportive of changing, of defining what is consensus in a further way than what it currently says, I would tend to say we can just keep it as is. I don't see anyone speaking otherwise, supporting the proposed amendment by Gregory.
Just to make an obvious point, Olivier, I mean, I think in this kind of a group, I mean, if the chairs try to call a consensus that people really don't sort of buy into, there's like real opposition, the views will be expressed, you know. And I can't imagine the chairs saying, well, we're going to plow ahead anyway. You know, I mean, we're not voting. I mean, come on. You know.
You never know, Bill. It's all down to the trust that everyone has in the chair.
Well, I guess. And also trust in each other, for God's sakes, if we can't we can't talk together about what's going on in the IGF or the Net Mundial or so on and express broad community viewpoints that are comparable, then we're really in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Understood, Bill. Thank you. Okay, I think that's pretty clear. So back to you. Back to you, Bart. I think.
Okay. The next one is again in the. This is Bart again for the transcript purposes. The next one is on the call for consensus. Say the suggestion is Gregory suggested language from Gregory. SOs and ACs and individual working group participants may direct that they are not associated explicitly with any view or position. Yeah, it's turning the way around. I think the SO and AC part of say the suggested language is a bit out of context because I don't see how an individual SO or AC can at this stage, say in the deliberations of the working group, disassociate itself, especially now, say the working group, say the members on the call already agreed that, say, the additional language is will not be included. The question is whether this should be at the direction of the working group participants or that the co-chairs direct. Again, this goes back to, in my view, to what Bill just said. Either way, it really doesn't matter because if a working group participant wants to include a wants to include disagreement or disassociate him or herself with a particular view, I think not including such a viewpoint would that would directly affect the trust in the working group itself. Olivier, over to you.
Thank you, Bart. Olivier speaking. The floor is open for points and questions on this. Is this, again, just a point of the language itself being used? Could there perhaps be one more line of clarifying what this means? Because it looks to me like there might be some ambiguity in this, if Greg is pointing at. Anyone wishing to propose something? What's the view on the call here?
Rudy agrees with
anyone
me.
Reacting to it. I'm not even sure that we're kind of grasping the actual difference between what Greg is mentioning and what's on the text. At least I see very little difference between them. Rudy mentions that he would leave the text as is. I mean, the text as is at the moment says they are not associated explicitly with any new opposition. So the work group participants may request that their names are not associated explicitly with any new opposition. And suggested language is SOs, ACs, and individual working group participants may direct that they are not associated explicitly with any group and position. So that adds basically ACs and individual working group participants. Rudy Vantnik, you've raised your hand.
Thank you, Olivier. Rudy for the transcript. I take the wording participants as being the individuals and not as the representatives of the working of the SOs and ACs. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, then I agree with the text as it is now. I think it's clear enough.
Thank you, Rudy. I note Bill Drake also says the text is fine. So I think we'll probably keep that as well. I mean, work group participants has already been defined as being both individual participants, but also participants from SOs and ATs. I would imagine, I think that effectively is covered already.
It could be, say, on an individual basis, it could be because, say, by adding SO and AC, you make it, again, you introduce something that is not should not be part of the working group itself. It's individuals who are member of the working group or participants of the working group,
correct.
They go back to the SO and AC.
And then they might then say that they themselves would... not stand by this, but I note the chat which is on there that it would be very difficult for an SO or AC to dissociate itself in the heat of the discussion, since the working group participants, I guess it's again different for each one of the SOs and ACs. SOs and ACs, working group participants, are able to direct decisions there and then, and on behalf of their SO and AC. In others, that's not the case. And so trying to define it further is only going to complicate the problem.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay. The last one from Gregory, I believe, is that, say, in the event co-chairs determine after consultation the members of the working group, so this is section 6, and he wants to include participants, so this is the full working group. Again, yeah, it's my understanding is, say, having the members is these have because they are appointed by the SOs and ACs, that's the reason for including them. The idea is that observers are more in and out of the working group as well as experts. So, because if you replace this by experts, that could be outside of the SOs and ACs, and this is all about the scope, etc. So, yeah, over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's Olivia speaking. The floor is open for suggestions, questions, comments, and for reactions to what Bart has just told us there.
Any comments on this member or...
Drake is typing.
He's multitasking.
Okay, that's not a helpful. That's not a helpful comment in this respect. No comment from Rudy on this. I think, in the absence of comments, and it is a significant change, though, isn't it? Because the members are really the ones to call the shots, and the members have been defined. Defined term, the participants effectively makes it the members plus the observers.
Plus the experts.
I know from Bill, and the experts as well, doesn't it? Because participants do include the experts as well. I think that for such decisions, it would probably need to be the members that take precedence over others, in which case members has to remain. And I see here, keep members, please, and member is fine. From so Rudy Vantnik, keep members, please. Bill Drake, member is fine. Hago Dafala has no comment on this specifically. And in reality, says Bill Drake, the observers would be part of the conversation in some manner anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's stick with members then.
And then the next one, and this is the yellow mark line, is from Avery. If you had any such decision, she wanted to add after the sentence or the part of the sentence that's been marked, any such decision will be discussed with the working group and modified as necessary. So the co-chairs of the working group still have the authority to determine the proper actions, and maybe it's after consultation of.
Okay, thank you for this, Bill. The floor is open. Bill Drake mentions if she thinks it's useful, I don't mind.
And this would, and note if you would something add something like after consultation of the participants or members of the working group, it would already address probably some of the concerns of Gregory as well.
Okay, thank you for this. I don't see anyone else. It's okay for everyone here about. So I think that if I take my chair hat off and see it as a participant, I would also say I would agree with this and to add this if it helps with Gregory's concerns and if it also helps with having an additional check and balance before the chairs of the working group have the authority to do something or to determine something. As we know, we are working bottom-up, and I think that's certainly welcome. So this could be added.
Yeah. And as...
And I think, sorry, just to come back to you, and I think it could be added with participants of the working group.
Yep,
so,
okay.
So then at that point, it's a discussion with everyone rather than just amended.
Yeah. That was my question. Okay, and now the final one from Gregory. That's on new charter. Gregory's comment, it seems odd to me that a minority of the participating SOs and ACs could force the working group to continue. Yes, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Bart. That's a good point. It's a good point, but I can see both sides of the argument. So I open the floor for comments on this. And just to tell everyone, whilst everyone is thinking about this, my understanding of cross-community working groups is as soon as there are more than one part of ICANN, so one SO or one AC working on a topic, if two SOs and ACs decide to work together on something, irrespective of everyone else in ICANN, that becomes a cross-community working group. And we have seen that take place, for example, in some cross-community working groups that have happened between the GNSO and the CCNSO. And that I think those were called cross-community working groups. And correct me if I'm wrong, GNSO participants, but Rudy Ventnik, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Rudy for the transcript. Well, considering that, as Bart is mentioning, at least two SOs or ACs means two times six people, which means 12. That's quite a large number. So I consider that would be a good threshold to give the green light.
It's up to the participating SOs and ACs anyway. Say if they want to continue, they can build on this charter or they can start all over again. It's up to them. But the only thing is they can call it a cross-community working group on internet governance. So it's more of taking over the name than anything else.
Yeah.
Does that create too many mechanisms for people to block other people?
Sorry, Bill, I didn't hear you well. Can you start again?
I'm just saying, you know, a lot of this lawyerly refinement presumes a level of conflict in doing it.
Yeah.
That I just really wonder that we're going to experience, you know. I mean, if some SLACs want to denounce the process and go away, nobody's going to hold them at gunpoint and say, you know, you must stay in it. And similarly, if somebody decides that they don't want to be part of this particular dialogue anymore, that doesn't necessarily mean that others should be held back. So, you know, as long as we're clear about who is participating and who is not, I'm trying to legislate all the conditions under which one can continue or stop it or whatever, down to the nth detail based on a conflict model. I don't really feel like this is necessary.
Okay, thank you for this, Bill. Any other thoughts? I can understand the understanding there of saying, well, if we've got X number of SOs and ACs, theoretically, if we wanted this to take place, we would need a majority of SOs and ACs to extend the working group as such, as a majority rule. But then that's not the way cross-community working groups are created in ICANN. And you can have a cross-community working groups with only two parts of ICANN, not the whole majority
right.
of them.
Yeah.
So I would say that this goes against the way that you know, amending this would go against the way that as cross-community working groups are created. I don't know what to add to this sentence to ease Greg's concerns on this.
How about if you said consistent with general practice, the working group will continue if blah, blah, blah.
That sounds good, Hill. What do you think? Bart, is this something that would be incompatible with...
No, not really, but it's more appeasing. I even don't understand, say, why Gregory made this comment. It's, assume this would be the case if just two wanted to continue out of five. Because, say, if you have four SOs and ACs, which is normally the case and which already would be hard, it's what will happen if, so that assumes that only one steps out because there needs to be a minimum of three. I really don't see it. As Bill said, if what is far more important that is that if an SO and AC wants to disassociate itself, that it's able to do so. Because that builds the trust around these kind of cross-community working groups.
And it's Olivia speaking, as long as there are two parts of ICANN working on something, it remains a cross-community working group. I think the suggestion of saying consistent with normal ICANN practice or usual ICANN practice, the working group will continue if at least two of the participating SOs and ACs extend the chart of the working group. Is probably something that will allay Greg's fears on this or concerns on this.
Yeah, but I don't
know
what his concerns are.
That process changes.
Yeah.
Sorry?
That's why. I'm not clear what he wants to address.
Well, I think, it's Olivia speaking, I think that he is under the impression that you need a majority of the ICANN SOs and ACs for a cross-community working group to remain in place. And I guess he says if the current cross-community working group has all of ICANN's SOs and ACs involved, if more than half of them decides to step out of it, then the working group would be dissolved, which under a circumstance where you are in requirement of a majority of SOs and ACs in a cross-community working group for it to remain, that holds. That's not the definition of a cross-community working group at ICANN. A cross-community working group at ICANN can work with just two SOs and ACs.
No, so therefore I still don't understand what he wants to address with this.
I
to have
think
at least half of the participating SOs and ACs. So if one looks at the total number of SOs and ACs in ICANN, which I think is it five or six, you would probably say, well, you need three to remain there. But that's inconsistent with the definition of a cross-community working group. At least my point of view on this is that it feels opposite.
No, I understand.
Really, let's put ourselves out of the misery here.
Yeah.
There's a standard kind of understanding of these things, as you say, Olivier. Let's just add that clause to make clear why it's two. And if he wants to come back on this again and provide more detailed explanation for why that's problematic, he can do so.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
So do you want me to include consistent with ICANN or general practice in ICANN?
I would.
Okay. I'll include it.
And I note also support from Rudy, and you can note support from myself as well. Myself being Olivier. Okay, next.
That was it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Bart, for holding the pen on this. And I'm glad that we've done this. So next steps after this call. So, Bart, you will have the latest included in there. Are you passing it by the... I guess you have to pass it by the CCWG mailing list. We can do a last call, and if there is no opposition, no significant opposition to this, then we can have this sent to the SO and AC chairs by, let's say, Tuesday next week.
Yeah, it's up to you. It's I would go say everybody had that chance. Say this is... they had the chance to attend is, I would say this is maybe a bit stronger, this is the final suggested version. It's and this is more a asking a call for whether people can live with it or don't. Otherwise you keep on getting amendments after amendments.
Well, this is it, yes. And we're trying to make this charter perfect, and as we know from Voltaire, the perfect is the enemy of the good. So we would have to get things done. And this, unfortunately, is one of the things we often do at ICANN, is to try to make things perfect.
So and my suggestion would...
make decisions.
So Olivier, this is by Olivier. My suggestion would be that I'll update this. I'll make it a red version again from clean version 4. So I'll include what we discussed, include the comments as well, and say, based on the discussion of today, this came out of the discussions, and that you and Rafiq make a call for support among the working group. Otherwise, people keep on adding new changes. And I appreciate, say, people like Gregory who've been attending these calls, but they keep popping up, and this will be an indefinite process this way.
Okay, Bob, thank you. It's Olivia speaking. That's understood. Will you be sending that latest version to the mailing list?
Well, I will send it to you and Rafiq, so you can send it and send it out as conveners, because I think it is your role as conveners to call for to call for support.
So the action items for this call are Bart to send the latest version, including the comments, to Rafid Damak and Olivier Papin-Leblanc.
Yeah.
And send Rafik Damak and Olivier to send a last call
to the mailing
support.
Yeah.
To the mailing list.
Yeah.
I think I will word it in a way to basically say, unless you have a serious objection to anything I would suggest that you don't come back and want to change things.
Yeah, because...
And then I think the deadline for this should be maybe Tuesday or let's say Wednesday, because I know that people do. If nothing is received or if no significant opposition is received by Wednesday, 1200 UTC, then I will send that... facilitators of the working group will send this to the SONAT chairs for their consideration, and that's it. Last question of the call, do we need a call next week? Now that the charter is forward, suggestions, what I can do is to also ask everyone, do we need a call next week, or do we wait for the charter, or what comes next effectively?
Maybe that's something to discuss at the next call.
Yeah, but the question, though, is the next call, what comes next? But the question is, do we need a next call? I see wait until we get support first, I note, from Rudy and from Bill.
Okay, yeah, it's the working group members. Yeah.
Okay, so what we'll do, what I'll do also is to then ask, further for the rest of the working group, because we have so few people on the call, if we need a call next week, maybe sending out a doodle asking do we need a call right away or do we wait? If we have a problem with getting support, let's convene another call, says Rudy Benson. Makes very good points indeed. But I would not want to publicize if we have a problem to get support, we convene another call, because that will just trigger people coming up with more comments, and then we'll be in the same position as we are this week or the previous week as well.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, thanks to everyone. Thank you, Bart. Any last comments or questions before we close the call? Don't see anyone putting their hands up, so I thank everybody, and we will be following up on the mailing list. This call is now adjourned. Thanks to all of you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.